The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 3, Scene 11. I'm Jerry Weems from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
I'm Jalinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
So, Jalinda, welcome to Curtain Call. Why don't you give our listeners a little quick rundown of who you are and what you do?
Thank you. I am Jalinda Lewis. I have been writing about dance and theater for approximately 40-something years.
Uh-huh.
And I've written for the Richmond Times-Dispatch since I've been here in Richmond. And recently, I launched a new blog, RVA Art Review.
And those reviews, I have noticed, are up the next morning, just like my reviews, pretty much.
My guarantee is that I will have the review up within 12 hours of the time I leave the theater.
Wow. That's making it hard for you, isn't it?
It's easier because then I don't have time to forget.
Oh, good. And what's that link?
It is jdldancesrva.com. And if you can't remember that, you can always go to the Artsy's webpage and find the links there.
The links there, that's right. They put them on there. It's artsy's.org, so if you can check them out there too. We're going to start talking about Corpus Christi, which is at Richmond Triangle Players through February 24th. This is a reimagined telling of the story of Jesus set in 20th century Texas, considering the concept that Christ and all his disciples were gay. Jalinda, since this is your first time on the show, why don't you kick off with some of your thoughts on the show?
First of all, I loved the show. Thought it was a great ensemble. They worked together so well. Interestingly enough, I had a discussion about the show with a minister friend at church today.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted to see what her take on that might be. And there was absolutely no controversy. I'd rather speak to somebody who would find it more controversial.
Uh-huh. I'll jump in and say, I agree with you. I think the ensemble was excellent. I think there wasn't a weak link. There were very few moments that didn't work, but most of it did. I thought Adam Turk in the pivotal role was wonderfully sweet and innocent and kind of fun early on. And
you just thought he was good looking.
Well, he was good looking, too.
He was good.
Once he became aware of his fate, I thought he beautifully embodied the pressure and the drama that came with that.
I loved it. I thought it was great. It's kind of like Godspell for agnostics. It's telling the story of Jesus in a different way. I'm not a religious person myself, but I think the ideas of Jesus, of acceptance, his position as a revolutionary of sorts, absolutely loved it. I thought the production was excellent. I thought Dexter Ramey's direction kept everything moving, had everything perfectly balanced, great pacing.
Right.
And I thought the ensemble was excellent.
It's not often you see a show that starts out kind of sassy and very gay and campy, and by the end, it's heartrending. I mean, it's really powerful.
Yeah, I thought the transitions were really seamless.
And subtle.
It came
slow, naturally. Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't just an abrupt change
of
pace.
Right.
So that it drew you in that way. And the touches of humor were totally necessary.
Absolutely. And I just wanted a little quick shout out to T. Ross Aiken. His set was lovely. It was a kind of a dock motif with some net, which obviously echoed that concept of fishers of men. And I don't know if you noticed, because I didn't catch it until actually we got up, but under the set, Andrew Bonnewell had put in some moving blue lighting that looked like water to give it more of that dock feel.
Couldn't see that from where I was sitting.
Exactly. You have to. So if somebody goes to see the show and you don't notice it from your seat, be sure you get up after the show and check it out, because that's kind of cool.
Well, kind of defeats the purpose if you can't see it while you're watching the show, though.
That's true. That's a good point. All right. Well, then I think we pretty much all thought this was an excellent production and worth checking out.
I like your 5 stars. I ditto.
Okay. Agreed.
So we've been talking about Corpus Christi, which is playing at Richmond Triangle Players through February 24th. Now we're going to talk about I'm Going to Pray for You So Hard, which is playing at Theater Lab through February 17th. A successful playwright sits with his daughter as they wait for the reviews of her first New York acting job. And Rich, you want to start on that one?
I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's everyone's cup of tea.
Wasn't mine.
I really enjoyed it. The second act I thought was incredibly moving, especially with Alan Sater's acting. He has a part where he sings, not to give too much away, but it floored me. It drags in parts. I think it's just written a little bit long.
It's overwritten, I think.
So the second act scene is supposed to be a set of what happens in the first act. I don't think that's clear to the audience. The only difference is that it has a ghost light on the stage, which I don't think most people who are not theater people understand what it is.
Exactly. No, actually, Jalinda and I were talking about before we started recording that it was not clear that the second act is actually a set on a stage.
Agreed.
But we don't want to give too much away. Just just for those out there who do not know, a ghost light, it's just basically a light bulb on a stand that they put on stage when the show is over so that it supposedly keeps ghosts away. But
also for safety. And make sure that there's always a light on stage so no one kills themselves in the middle of the night.
Good point, good point. We should probably just mention that the cast of the show was Alan Sater as the father and Liz Ernest as the daughter. I felt like it was refreshing to see Alan Sater kind of pull it back a little bit. He's usually very big and broad and bombastic, and because this was an intimate space for one thing, but also I thought he toned down that style, which I thought worked nicely. I thought Liz Ernest did a great job. She was a good empathetic listener, because one thing we didn't mention is pretty much it's a monologue of his in the first act and a monologue of hers in the second act. It's a little bit of exchange later in both acts. I kind of agree with you. It was a little overwritten. Almost every scene could have been a little shorter, but I thought both of the actors did a wonderful job with it, and DJ Gray did a good job of keeping the show moving and keeping it interesting and keeping it intimate.
I thought that it was marvelously done. It was two actors who did a wonderful job at portraying people that, I mean, there was no way you could like him. Right, I wouldn't say that I enjoyed the show.
You didn't feel bad for him in the second act?
He got
Okay.
I kind of agree with you that I felt like it was more for the actors than for the audience. The acting exercise of that show was wonderful for them, and we got to see a wonderful acting exercise, but the play itself left me a little meh.
So you guys didn't feel anything during the singing part in the second act?
It was touching, but it went on way too long. And we haven't yet mentioned the set by David Melton, which was kind of cool. Actually, Julinda and I both said in our reviews at first that they looked like somebody just plopped a little New York apartment right in the middle of Theater Lab.
Yeah, this was the second, I believe, of DJs taking sides productions where he has the audience seated on two sides and there are two performers on the stage.
Right, right, right.
And in this particular case, the intimacy of it really, really worked well because you felt as if you were in that apartment with them.
One other thing I just wanted to mention, there are these little echoes of music that happen kind of in the distance. And the first time it happened, I thought, oh, somebody's upstairs in the house playing music, because it just seemed random. And then it became more obvious later when it tied into themes from the show.
It totally worked for me. I thought it was, you know, foreshadowing of what happened in the second act with Alan Sater.
The subtlety of it is what made it work so well.
Do I feel justified in saying for both of you that you may or may not like this show, but you definitely will appreciate the performances?
I'd agree.
It's not that I didn't like the show. I'm saying it's not an enjoyable show.
Absolutely.
But it's great theater. If you don't want theater just always be fluff, then this is the show to see.
When I interviewed DJ about the show, he was saying that something along the lines of, he didn't come to the theater to be entertained necessarily. He wanted to be devastated. And if that's what you're going for in theater, I think this one fits the bill.
Total devastation.
Didn't devastate me, but that'll be two against one on that.
What's wrong with you?
It doesn't have a heart.
Don't get me started. We've been talking about I'm Gonna Pray For You So Hard, which is playing at Theater Lab through February 17th. And that's all for this week.
I'm Rich Grissette with Style Weekly.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. We want to thank Open Source RVA for airing us on WRAR, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more shows to review.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, go to the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website, rtccva.com.